I'm Richard Conte, and I'm here with Professor Keith March, who is a newcomer at the University of Florida for the last 4 months, came from Indiana University. Keith and I are going to discuss a very important topic, and it's entitled Regenerative Medicine Meets Comparative Medicine for Cardiomyopathy and Beyond. Now, that's a lot of words, but basically, what does it mean, Keith?
Thank you for asking me here. I'd like to explain many terrible diseases that cause serious suffering and mortality to human patients that we're well familiar with are also commonplace in pets and are well known to veterinary physicians as well. Therapies that include adult stem cells and regenerative therapies apply both to people and their pets, and this overlap is what will be the focus of a first ever such meeting that's being held in Orlando just following the ACC in the next 2 days. And at that meeting, we're going to have a series of clinician scientists who are both, again, from the human and veterinary realms, as well as FDA representatives, to talk about working together to identify how clinical trials can be conducted in a synergistic way that uses the fact that there are real-world or natural diseases that occur both in the animals and in the humans that have a lot of commonality from a physiologic perspective.
Do many of the animals have the same disease as the human has?
There are quite a few. While this conference will be focusing on cardiomyopathies, there's a huge range. It turns out that certain dog breeds have particular kinds of cardiomyopathies. It ranges from hypertrophic to dilated to even ARVD. There are dogs with mitral valve prolapse and so forth. But it also applies to a variety of other illnesses that can be addressed by regenerative medicine. For example, horses get arthritis or tendinitis, especially if they're involved in eventing or active athletic activities. Golden retrievers are often known for issues to do with their hips and certain musculoskeletal issues. Cats are very well known for having chronic renal failure.
How about malignancies?
There's a whole range of malignancies. Yeah. In fact, this whole field exploring the connection of comparative medicine, as it's called, or it's also been named in recent years, the One Health type of initiative, where there's an overlap in health between the animals and the humans, has been explored the most in oncology. So there are a lot of malignancies where it's already been demonstrated that studying them in these species that are much more akin to, you could say, from a size perspective and from a physiologic perspective to humans, and as well akin in the environment that they encounter, being companion animals, seems to be much more predictive of the kinds of outcomes and responses to drugs and therapies than our rodent models.
Now, what does this have to do with regenerative medicine? And let me tell the audience that, first of all, we recruited Keith to come to Florida to be head of our regenerative medicine programs. And he has done that, and then hopefully he'll expand to other places. But what are we talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about is using a general principle, that of developing this overlap between the veterinary and human health approaches, and exploring that in a domain of disease, an umbrella domain this year, for example, on cardiomyopathies, but understanding that while it could apply to everything from biologics to devices to small molecules to cells, ultimately, one of the areas that we need to address in terms of moving more quickly, which was in fact the topic of a New England Journal article just a couple days ago that came out from Peter Marks and Scott Gottlieb from the FDA, is the need to move cell therapies and regenerative medicine therapies, which are often cell-based, more quickly. And so the way this applies is by understanding and trying with the FDA, which we'll be doing at this conference, to put together a roadmap of how to better synergize those two areas. Then we hope to apply that specifically to regenerative medicine so we can help get cell therapies into patients for unmet medical needs more quickly.
So this is sort of a regulatory thing in which you're trying to get stuff done.
Yes, we definitely want to get it done. And this is one approach. Peter Marks at the FDA has shared with me that this has helped to spawn a very productive internal dialogue that is about how the adult and the human and the veterinary sides, rather, can work together even in more productive ways for regenerative medicine. And so how to get it done? One of the things that veterinary medicine has that we don't have specifically in the same sense in human medicine at the regulatory level is the concept of a proof of concept study that can be done relatively efficiently with a relatively lesser amount of data going into that study.
Using animals,
and specifically companion or farm animals, but yes, using animals that are client animals. So what we mean here is animal patients.
Mm-hmm.
They really have naturally developed these diseases, or they're often called naturally occurring spontaneous diseases or real-world diseases.
So you're not producing any disease in the animals. They already have it.
That's right, whether on a genetic or environmental or both basis, just as in humans. So the concept here is instead of using what one might provocatively call fake diseases, mm-hmm. which are what we've called for many years animal models, which certainly have their place, but here we're using real-world naturally occurring diseases in client animals. So the people who have an animal with a certain particular disease bring it in as a patient animal, and the testing that we're outlining here for proof of concept would be conducted in those actual animals that are already coming in as patients. So it has a lot more variability potentially, but it's much more like the real human condition where there is variability, both genetically and environmentally, and it's not just a very specific model that's a kind of made-up disease.
Let me give you my take on the use of the term client. I don't particularly like that term, and that's what lawyers use. We're talking about animals who are veterinary patients, just like the humans are human patients. So why don't we just stay with that?
I actually am not a veterinarian, of course, so they would speak more clearly to how those terms are used.
Right.
I believe the term client there refers to the owner, but the patient is the animal.
The animal, right. Got it. Okay, well, that's important that our listeners understand the difference. We're not producing any disease in animals. It's their disease that they already have.
That's right.
And you're evaluating it and trying to get the regulatory process going.
In fact, it's an animal patient. That's mm-hmm. really what it is that's being addressed here. And so it's with great gratitude to Carl Papin, who introduced to me as I came to the University of Florida this connection that was waiting to happen, as it were, with a veterinary school. And he introduced to me our colleague, Amar Estrada, who leads a component of the cardiology program in the veterinary school. And so with Amara and Carl, it's been a joy to put this meeting together and bring our FDA colleagues to discuss it.
So this meeting will take place at Lake Nona, and it's after the ACC national meeting.
That's exactly right, at which time we'll have an FDA panel to discuss the general approach of how to create this regulatory synergy that's built on having heard discussions from both human and veterinary physicians talking about their counterpart diseases.
What do you think is going to be the outcome of all this?
What we hope will happen is that we'll identify some ways and certainly make more popular the discussion around how do we treat the animal patients and then learn from those outcomes, whether in terms of efficacy, safety, dose, all of those things, so that we can apply them into a phase one human clinical trial more readily, and thus we think it will be both more predictive and more nimble than some of the animal model approaches that have been used to date.
I certainly agree with that, but I still have a little bit of a difficulty understanding how regenerative medicine fits into this profile.
What I've described as a broader profile for regenerative medicine would just be using that pathway with a particular car, if you will, of regenerative medicine.
Okay.
Once we develop a roadmap, then you could, you know, drive the regenerative medicine car along it. You could also drive a biologics car, or you could drive a small molecule car if you want to use the analogy that way.
Okay, well, I think I got the understanding of what's going on here, and I appreciate you coming to Axel and explaining it to me and to my audience, who I am representing here, since I don't know a heck of a lot about regenerative medicine.
And I should say I'm really grateful that the meeting is being hosted by the National One Health Initiative, along with the University of Florida Center for Regenerative Medicine. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you about it, Dick.
Pleasure.